Mr. Gay Wan Gui, Rue 6. Mr. Gay, you mentioned that you were teaching the students Japanese language and English language as well. Was this school strictly for teaching languages only?
No, we continued teaching other subjects more or less. But the main thing was to teach the Japanese language so that we would please the Japanese authorities that something was being done. They wanted to see that the children would learn something about the Japanese language and perhaps later be able to appreciate Japanese things and so forth through the language. But we did do other things, of course. As a matter of course, but the one important thing that they introduced was the physical training called Radio Taiso, which every morning we had to do very faithfully to music, physical exercise. And that made the young people exercise conscious, not just a PE done 3 times a week as a school timetable, but a sort of thing to begin the day with.
So, other than that, it was a normal school teaching the subjects that you were teaching before the war?
Yes, but not too seriously actually. Not to the point of... Well, I don't know, we were all... Some of us were rather anxious about our jobs. We did not know what would happen. And between having to study the Japanese language in order to teach a language and some other things that we had to do to keep ourselves, our family, economically viable and so on, we had very little time left for other things. And we are not encouraged to teach English all out like usual.
The various subjects that the school was teaching, was it done in English or in Japanese?
Well, those who could use Japanese here and then, here and there, the Japanese language, addition, subtraction, but those who couldn't had to do with the English language, with a smattering of Japanese thing. But majority of us couldn't do it. There were some young teachers who joined what called the Butai. I don't know what that was. There was a sort of cadet training for youngsters. I don't quite remember. There were two teachers in our school who joined this youth organization organized by the Japanese, and they became very good, and they came back and I asked them to conduct special classes for teachers. So they did come back and taught us short stories in Japanese, and so some of us did improve our Japanese through composition of short stories, the hare and the tortoise, and some Japanese folk tales, all in Japanese, no? The kanji as well as a katakana and hiragana and so on. So through the fables and composition of fables and through questions and answers in the classes conducted by our own people, we did improve. I believe similarly, in other schools, there were classes of the same nature. I don't quite know, because we have very little time to interact except to come together for the senior teachers and heads to come together under the Japanese tutors to learn some Japanese.
The two teachers that you mentioned, did you know where did they go for their training?
I have no idea. One of the centers in one of the schools, the Victoria, or the, I don't know, I have no idea.
Do you remember when was that?
During the occupation?
Which part of the occupation? When they went for the training and came back to give you the lessons?
No, while they were teaching. While they were teaching, it's a supper. While they were teaching, they were given time off. Okay? Not full-time training, mind you, it's just like a normal class. In training something, they would go in the afternoon to attend these classes and come back to school to teach. They carry on ordinary teaching duties and they would go back to classes and sometimes take a few days off.
Did you select both of them to attend the course?
No, they were just selected to go, and we just received the letters, and they just said they had to go, that's all. They were young, very young. Must have been the administration, they call them the administration, the city administration. We do not know the authority.
When you were teaching the various subjects, where did the school get the, or where did the students get the textbooks for these subjects?
There were likely no textbooks, Japanese textbooks, no, except the few readers, language readers. The rest were all in English, actually.
Were the textbooks the same as the ones used before the war? For instance, for mathematics or for science, were these textbooks the same as the ones used by the teachers before the war?
I think they were identical. There was no change. We just carried on. The idea was to keep everything as normal as possible. They didn't want the children to roam about in the streets.
What about the Japanese language class that Audrey was supposed to teach? How much time was given to it compared with the other subjects?
Well, we had reading, writing, and composition, these three definitely, three periods, every day practically. And the rest of the time in teaching, if possible, we were supposed to use the Japanese language lesson. And the rest up to us. No, there were no inspectors to come. And of course, there were some schools that were very good, and just to show the Japanese authority, big shots, what progress had been made, education officer under Mr. Shinozaki, I suppose, brought them around to those prestigious schools to show them around. And usually when they were shown around, these classes were conducted by these youngsters who attended the special classes, who could speak Japanese quite fluently. Being young, they could pick up the language quite quickly.
So, roughly how much time was given to each period teaching the Japanese language?
We followed the usual timetable, usually 7 periods a day, 1 period, 1 3 periods, 35 minutes, 40 minutes.
For the Japanese language, who provided the textbooks for the teaching and students?
I think it must have been from the Japanese Ministry of Education. As I said, we had no say in this matter. They would bring the thing, and the teachers would just carry on, however they were told to carry on. And then we got the books, and of course some of the booksellers they will come with the books, and these are the books used in. Just paid whatever the money had to be paid, and just carry on. In fact, at that time, very few of us bothered to think about where the thing, such things came from. As long as we obeyed orders and told the line, we were not afraid, you see. What we were afraid was to disobey and to be found that we did not know, or even ignorantly did not follow what we were told. That's just a danger. Sometimes we did not know. We're just ignorant. Ignorance was no excuse. Ignorance was no excuse. We had to find out what was going on. So therefore we were very pleased when we did what other people did. So we just carried on with what we were given. It was very simple, actually. We got those books, we learned what we didn't know. We asked some of these youngsters, and they were very simple. As you know, you can learn a language. If you learn Malay, you just learn one or two lessons ahead and teach the class.
Was it strictly teaching the students the language, or were you supposed to teach Japanese history, culture and literature to the students also?
No, it was quite a job already teaching the language. Teaching the culture, perhaps we interspersed English into our explanation. Perhaps when it came to singing the national anthem. Now we learned about the hoisting of the flag every morning from them. You know? The singing of the national anthem from them, the hoisting of the Japanese flag at school. Before the British time, we did not have that. And it was the Japanese who taught us that, and after that we did the exercises and so on. So it became a practice. And we did, but we had, when we explained such things, or when we were told to certain things, we did not explain to them in Japanese because we just couldn't. We didn't have mastery of the language sufficient enough to do so.
But were all of you, as the teachers, were all of you supposed to teach the culture as a separate subject? Or was it through the teaching of the language you pass it on to them?
No, they did organize cultural shows, you know, the Japanese. And there were numerous Japanese songs for us to sing. The Japanese are very fond of music, and they did disseminate their songs to the schools. And they like to hear the children sing their songs. And the songs that we sang were similar to the songs that they sang in their schools. So we sang their songs, many of which we couldn't understand the words. But the children seemed to pronounce the words quite correctly. And some of them could even give solos.
Were they organized in schools?
Yes, you organized in schools, and at that time there was a sort of Singapore Shonanto Orchestra, you know, that organized musicals and shows at Victoria Theatre. I remember, I don't quite remember clearly, but I remember I did take part in the orchestra at the Victoria Theatre under Applebaum. And I did sing once or twice there. And it was very popular with the Japanese because there was so little entertainment that every time there was a show, whether matinee or at night, it was a full house. And the old Victoria Theatre, yeah? It was always full. There was Spanish dancers, dancers do classical music, and so on, and Strauss waltzes, the simple symphonies like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, Mozart's Symphony, things that are popularly appreciated by, generally appreciated by people, not the difficult ones. Occasionally they did produce difficult ones, but then there were not enough musicians capable of playing such difficult works. That's one thing I could say about the Japanese, the upper official class, the officers and so on. They were appreciative of good music, and they were quite well behaved. They were not brutal and uncouth. The ones we had great fear for were the common soldier. They were terrible, and they could take the law into their own hands. And if they took the law into their own hands to brutally punish you or deal horribly with you, there is no recourse to the higher authority. Probably the higher authority will be too busy to take care of a case. You might be too busy with other things to consider you as too important enough. Of course, you might know Mr. Shinozaki, the welfare officer and education officer. He did save a lot of Chinese, a lot of us, from worse fates. And many Chinese queued up to his office at City Hall with their woes and begged him for assistance, for loss of beloved ones, for brutality of the ordinary soldier in the streets, especially the one acting on sentry duty. But we were warned by him, no matter what happened, do not do anything to offend these people. Sometimes the highest officer find it very, very difficult to prove a case against their brutality. And usually they don't have the time to go through all the proceedings to prove that case. So don't do that. So I learned that. We learned that. So before them we bow very humbly, like bowing to an emperor. They were the brutal people. I don't know why. So musically, the schools, the children concentrated quite a great deal on music. So we enjoyed singing, we spent more time. When we couldn't teach anyone Japanese, we went down to sing the songs. The tunes were quite melodious and interesting. There were the naval and army songs, very martial, very vigorous, and there were the sweet folk songs, which were very interesting, and the dances of the country folk. So these sort of were appreciated by the teachers as well as the children, and were very easy to learn.
So besides having songs and culture shows, and the normal subjects that were being taught in school, did they have a separate class or separate subject on Japanese history, Japanese culture?
No, since we were a primary school, we didn't deal with such things directly. No, we didn't. But furthermore, most of the teachers knew nothing about it. As I said, you know. And even if we had been asked to teach, we would not be honest if we said that we could appreciate or like any of the culture of the way of life that they're shown. You see what I mean?
So the culture shows that were put up in schools, who were responsible for them?
I suppose you have the Ministry of Culture and the Education Department. You could see that suddenly you could see school children putting on kimonos and such, Japanese costumes, performing in the various schools, and some school children were invited to go and see. And the two children were very adept in taking up all these things.
So the school children themselves were the ones who were to put up the shoes?
Yes, of course, must have been directed by the teachers or the Japanese officers. Obviously, there were quite a number of Japanese teachers, must have been, you see, who came from Japan. The ones I knew were the tutors, two or three tutors who taught the teachers. That was all. And as I said already, most of us kept ourselves to ourselves besides our schoolwork and home. In fact, at home, my wife and family were too busy doing a sort of private business, selling curry rice and so on, to make both ends meet.
Usually, what kind of performances were put up by the students?
Dances and more sketches, nothing serious, nothing big. You were usually put up by younger children, smaller children.
Is it common in every school to have all the kind of activities going on?
I think you're common among the bigger schools. You must know that my school was a small school. It was at that time only a country school at Katong, with only a few hundred students.
So did your school have this kind of activities very frequently?
No. If we had, it was end of term among ourselves. I remember once I tried to borrow costumes from the Embassy of Japan. I was told that they were being borrowed by other people. I couldn't, you see. So obviously another school must have borrowed them for their use. So we had to make do with whatever we had.
So usually how frequent did your school have the show put up for the students? Did you do it once a month or once a week?
No, we didn't have any shows like that, no. We didn't have. We only had a class sing-song. Each class has its own sing-song, and during assembly, some children would go up and sing. There was no concert of any kind.
So the shows that you mentioned were in other schools?
I believe so.
Have you ever seen any of those during that time?
No, I wasn't invited to. It was during school hours, I suppose.
So, usually, what was the routine like for a daily routine in the school? How did you want to start?
The daily routine was we would sing the national anthem and put up the hoist the Japanese flag. And after that, there would be play the radio taiso. That was on the radio every morning, but then we had a song sheet. We played, and the student would do the exercises. Whole assembly would do the exercises. Teachers should be included, but most teachers didn't. Eventually dropped out. And then we would march to our classes and follow the timetable. Yeah.
How long was this radio taisho?
I think about 6 minutes or 7 minutes. 6 or 7 minutes. It was a series of continuous exercises.
Did the students enjoy the session?
Well, it was quite enjoyable because the music was rather lively, something like our exercises that you see some parts of the mouse exercise, the kind of thing. Only the first part, not the whole thing. The mouse exercise, I think, is too strenuous. But it's good, if all the people, students today, can follow that every morning, that should be good for the general health. In fact, even up till today, at the Japanese school, I find some of the teachers, when they feel tired, they do get up and do this exercise. I say, well, where do you learn this exercise? It's just a matter of habit. And I did some of the movements, and they asked me, where do you learn these movements? The same as what the one that we are doing now. I said, I learned it when your Japanese troops came to Singapore during the occupation period. He said, so? I said, that's radio exercises. I said, yes. He said, we have still retained the same exercises. The same. Normal school hours, only up, there were no afternoon schools. In my school, Chungwan English School, there was no afternoon school. So that left the teachers free in the afternoon to attend to their own business or to attend Japanese lesson classes. Usually most of us had to attend and to do some business in black market and so on. I think we would begin at about 8 and end at 10. At 1, I'm sorry. 5 hours. All these things have become quite hazy. 40 years have passed.
Were there any extra activities for the students?
No, not very much. As I said that already, times were becoming quite difficult, and the children, besides going to school, had a lot to do at home to help the family in their livelihood, in earning a livelihood. So they must have been doing something besides schoolwork. So there was no much emphasis on achievement, our studies in school. Nobody really cared very much. What we cared was to be safe, not to be disturbed or interfered with by the Japanese, to keep clear of them at all cost, by all means possible, by getting armbands, letters of permit or anything that could give us free passage or free access.
So what about the students' attitudes then towards learning?
The students are students everywhere. They, as long as you give them a chance to have friends and play, they will play. They quite enjoyed themselves in a way, except that you could see that there were signs of malnutrition coming in, that there was lassitude, that they were not so active and vigorous as before. You could see that they did not pursue their physical activity.